Here's a fun fact. People who talk about a marketing calendar, etc. They might fluffily put a marketing calendar up there and make them feel good about themselves. But just to be clear, right now, when it comes to field marketing events, we have events booked in the diary paid for next year Christmas.
Yeah.
Welcome to the DC Practice Growth Podcast. We're here with my head of marketing, Jack, and we're going to be talking today a little bit about seasonal campaigns, right? So here's the thing. I've been doing this for quite a while, and one of our key marketing strategies that we often use and kill it with and often get up to 10 to 15% response rates is seasonal campaigns. And I never know, we're just in Christmas now. We're just about to plan our seasonal campaign. One of the things that I never fully understand is why people don't do enough of it. And before I fully go into, Jackson asked me for a few questions about it. And, you know, I came up with a strategy and then Jack has refined it and tweaked it. And remember, one of the most important things I can tell you about listening to this podcast is we're in the game. Mm-hmm. It's not like we're not just teaching people how to do this. You are doing this for our practices. We have eight offices. We're doing this for Christmas. The campaign is set in our CRM. We use Infusionsoft. So this is years of learning, tweaking, etc. And first, I think I'll just start by talking a little bit about why a seasonal campaign. If you're a bricks and mortar business and you are and you're not using seasonal campaigns, you're leaving a ton of money on the table. Specifically for the following reasons, is that there is so much precedent in the marketplace to do it. You walk into the local supermarket and they, I don't know, when did they first put out Christmas? I mean, it's like in October.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like you're already seeing stuff for Christmas when Halloween's not even finished yet.
Yeah. And all that does is gives you permission for you to ride that same bandwagon.
Exactly.
And gives you a massive kind of excuse to market or promote something without it being weird. So I'll talk about our Christmas campaign in a moment. And there's a couple of fundamental things. I think why we always get such incredible results. Specifically, I mean, I never forget the first time we did it. Now, if you're talking to a direct response marketer, a good campaign is pulling 2%, 4%. If people are hitting 4% response rate, they are stoked, right?
Exactly.
One of my greatest mentors from a marketing perspective, and we recently spent a lot of time with him in Cleveland, is Dan Kennedy. And I've been a Dan Kennedy student for years. And Dan always says that if you can't survive, if your direct marketing response or campaign can't survive on ones, twos, threes, and fours percentages, that's another conversation, that's another day's conversation, another podcast altogether, but you're in for a tough time in this business. If you can't survive on those type of response rates, because the business, because that really that points to your lifetime value of your customer being very, very low, and it's a tough old industry if you have to consistently get a whole bunch of new clients or new patients, whatever business you have, over and over and over. And I think that the key focus of today's podcast and why a seasonal campaign is so powerful, when we do a seasonal campaign, we do three elements. We always make sure there's a reactivation element. We always make sure that in some way, shape, or form, there's a referral element.
Yep.
And we always make sure in some way, shape, or form, there is a new patient, new lead generation element.
Facebook.
Yeah, we use Facebook primarily for that. The reason I always say, when I brought it together, I think our biggest bang for our buck is our referral campaigns and our reactivation campaign.
Yeah,
and today we're going to talk about reactivation the most.
Yes, exactly.
So, what's important to mention, the reason I don't just leave it at the reactivation campaign is I was once taught a concept in business that often changes my mind about what direction I'm going to go. And the concept is this, is... I started the story. I had the great pleasure of this gentleman I do a lot of work with. He's founded a publicly listed company. They're on track for $200 to $250 million this year. I've had many meals with him. And I was sitting down and having a meal with him, and he said, I asked him what he was doing at the moment. What's new? What's happening new at the moment? And he said to me, I'm busy building a hotel in Singapore.
Wow.
Hotel, the conference center. And I remember saying to him, his name's Richard. I said, Richard, that is insane. That's amazing. I can't, like, what an amazingly huge project. It must be so much hard work.
Mm-hmm.
And the words, the next words out of his mouth, I'll never forget. He said, Ryan, big project, small project, same work.
Nice.
And I remember going, right, okay, got it. Like, we've all got the same amount of time in the day. If you're going to do a seasonal campaign, don't just do the reactivation.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to put in all the freaking effort of putting everything in the CRM, doing everything, just make sure you've got, if you're putting up all that marketing and marketing asset, like if you're doing videos and you're getting, let's say, views, and then you're retargeting, like, yeah, you may as well retarget for new leads. You may as well also do a reactivation campaign. If there's hype or energy in the practice, you may as well do a referral campaign.
It's the same mantra of just go big or go home.
It's exactly the same, but so many people come into it and think, oh, we're just going to focus on this because it feels overwhelming to do. If you go doing a Christmas campaign, I'm just going to focus on this thing and do it well. But big project, little project, same work. So you could decide whether you're going to go big or go little, right?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So let's get into Christmas campaign. I know that is this your third year doing it?
It will be, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. Our third year doing it. So tell us what you've got planned, tell us the basics of it, and then we'll bounce some questions out from it and some of our biggest learnings from it.
Yeah, so I mean, the first thing that is the most important part of it for me is just the planning for it. I mean, when we first did our very first campaign, when I started working here, like, it was a full day of planning, and we kept deliberating, we kept trying to decide, you know, how far are we going to segment the list, and how many years are we going to go back, and how many people are we going to have in it, and what are the elements of it, and if someone does this, they get this. Like, the planning is just so intricate, and it takes a lot of time and deliberation. But now that we've done that first initial planning session, coming into it on my third time, it just feels like second nature.
Yeah,
this is really exciting.
It's interesting. I love how when a first question I ask is like, what's the magic sauce, you know? And then Jack, growing up in this world and growing up in the marketing with me and my practices, remember, I'm in the game. I've got 8 offices. I'm not just teaching people how to do this. If we don't make this work, we don't put food on the table, right? We don't pay our bills.
Yeah.
So what's so important when you listen to this podcast is we're not making this stuff up. This is actually my head of marketing. This is actually the guys probably responsible for more ad spend in the chiropractic profession across the planet. And let me clarify that. That's people, I'm spending my own money. I'm not spending other people's money, I'm spending my own money marketing my practices, right? So what's interesting about what Jackson said was that he is the planning.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in business, people forget, Dan Kennedy taught me this. He said that a campaign, there's no such thing as a good or bad campaign.
No.
There's only, the only failure of a campaign is the poor planning, execution, mm-hmm. and follow through.
Yeah.
Because I do campaigns across, we mentor many practices across the planet in my inner circle group and have 8 practices myself. And even with our own practices, isn't it funny how one practice can kill it?
Yeah.
And then one practice.
It is a strange formula. It's never the same every year. It's always different. And it's, I think what you just said there is really important. I think that, like, the execution is really important, but I think it's only as good as how good the other one is in that sense.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes as well, like, it's if you have a bad campaign, a bad execution, everything's still salvageable at that follow up because it's all about the extra steps you put in. If you send out a bad email and it doesn't get a good open rate and doesn't get the response you're hoping for, there's still other ways you can salvage what didn't go so well with other things you put in along the way.
Okay, cool. You've kind of touched on my next point, which is great. So we're talking about Christmas campaign. We're just about to go into Christmas. It is now, today's the 13th of December. When did you finish planning for the Christmas campaign?
I finished it yesterday.
Cool. So now, to be clear, 13th of December, our Christmas campaign is not really a Christmas campaign. No. It's kind of a New Year campaign.
But I started planning in September. So, and like, I finished planning in around the beginning of October time. So just before we were starting to, like, think about our Halloween. I mean, if I'm being very specific, I started planning last Christmas.
Yeah.
Because we always sit down in a marketing meeting and we plan the whole year before we go into the year. So
yeah.
We know exactly what we want to achieve. But I think if you're not continuously trying to find ways to elevate your campaign some way, even as it's going, I think like it's a silly thing to do. Like you need to always be thinking about everything you can add to it to make it better.
Here's a fun fact. People who talk about the marketing calendars, etc. They might fluffily put a marketing calendar up there and make them feel good about themselves. But just to be clear, right now, when it comes to field marketing events, mm-hmm. we have events booked in the diary paid for next year Christmas.
Yeah.
So literally over 12 months in advance, we have already got dates in the diary booked and paid for, cemented in the diary. Mm-hmm. It wasn't always like that. It gets easy, you know, this is my 11th year now in some way, shape or form running practices. And it definitely wasn't always like that, but it gets easier year upon year. And what a lot of people miss are opportunities, just rinse and repeat. You know,
exactly.
If we did an event on the 22nd of June, 2019, then we'll often just book and pay for it and it was a good event on the same date the following year. So, and let me be clear, sometimes we do 3, 4, 5 events a week. That's just one element of our marketing. So
I think an important thing off the back of that as well is I think with the field events, it's not necessarily about going and turning up to get new patients. You're actually going up and turning up to create relationships, because then that way because one thing that's meant we've got so many booked up is because we get invited back. We're not making that first step to get invited. People mm-hmm. are coming to us and going, we want you back. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really important as well.
I think one of the things that Jack's alluding to in business, sometimes we try to be too much a hunter as opposed to a farmer.
Mm.
So hunter goes for the kill all the time.
Yeah.
There's a time and place to go for the kill. There's a time and place to put a deadline in. There's a time and place to put an offer in.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of times and places for that. And we do that. And we do that very, very well.
Yeah.
But there's also a time and place to be a farmer. And a farmer plants seeds. And here's the thing is when you're a hunter, you want the result. You need the result. You need the result now. When you're a farmer, you're planting seeds and you're very, very unattached to the result. And I think I talk a lot about this with chiropractors is when you, the more unattached you are to the result, the more you'll convert, the more you'll sell, the more customers you have, the more people you help, because you don't need it.
Yeah.
And necessity drives away opportunity. So we are massive farmers. We have so many things go out at one time. Sometimes I don't even know what's out at one time. Jack's taking care of that. And the team, we have a full marketing team and we have a boutique agency that we do done for you marketing, and they're taking care of everything. Often I don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
So Christmas campaign, I think if I can give anyone like one piece of advice, I had just had a bit of context for what a Christmas campaign is. It's really a new year campaign. It also it rides on the fact that if you look at in the health space, I don't know if you know this, but gyms do 80 to 90% of their memberships for the year in January. So people are health conscious. So we know that our sign-up rates for our health classes are massively up in the first quarter. Also, we will also do more of those direct. So we teach a strategy where we drive people from Facebook into a workshop. You can do this in any bricks and mortar business. If you're not doing this, you are leaving so much impact on the table. But there are kind of a few elements to our seasonal marketing campaigns for bricks and mortar businesses. Now, I'm not saying this is not relevant. If you're watching this and you're an online-based business, I'm not saying it's not relevant because the concepts are still true. Business is a panacea. But one of the concepts that I really want to drive home right now is that the reason we get such amazing results with our reactivation campaigns, specifically reactivation campaigns, mm-hmm. and I'm going to focus on emails here, is, well, here's the thing, is there's three elements to every marketing campaign that you have to run your marketing campaign through as a filter. And that is the messaging, the marketing, and the media. Now, they are, all of those change as, let me give you an example. A birthday card is a good marketing tool. But a birthday or some type of birthday acknowledgement is a good marketing tool. But a birthday card is not just a birthday card. Do you just send every single person in your list or your database or your client list or your patient list the same birthday card? And a lot of people watching this now would say yes. But here's the magic.
Mm-hmm.
Now, pre-frame this. Here's the magic, which we've really, really honed in on, is there's a whole bunch of different types of birthday cards. Because the messaging, so there's message, market, media, the message you send or say to someone, a birthday card to someone who's been a client with you for 10 years, is a completely different type of messaging to a birthday card you send to someone who's never used your custom before, never came in, never even decided to drop out or not start with you. It's a completely different type of message. To really simplify it, the message to someone who's been with you for 10 years is, you're freaking awesome. I'm just here to say thank you so much. Happy birthday. And he has an incredible gift, by the way. There's a great book written about this, right? He's like, do they deserve it? And a lot of times they spend over $10,000 with you. Do they deserve a nice gift? You're damn right. You know, I'll never forget, there's one of our clients who's been with us many, many years. I personally know that their account is over $30,000 with us. Over $30,000. And when I started to understand this concept, I was so embarrassed that I had never sent that. He spent over $30,000 in my business. Wow. That I had never sent that person a massively awesome gift for their birthday. I'm talking about a massive hamper from somewhere fancy that was awesome. It's ridiculous that we do business, and I'm taking it to the extreme. But if someone's been with in your business and they've spent $1,000, do they deserve a freaking £10 or $10 or $20 or $100 gift on their birthday? You're damn right they did. Do you know how hard it is to produce customers? So primarily we help businesses get new patients or new customers.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I think is missed all the time is it's freaking hard to get new customers.
No, it is.
We work our ass off.
Yeah.
But to keep someone and to reactivate someone, it's 10 times cheaper to reactivate someone than it is to get someone first time.
Sure, sure, definitely.
Cool.
So why do you think that reactivation campaigns are so vital to our campaigns? More specifically, obviously our seasonal ones, but why do you know, obviously, it's very important that we have all those different aspects, but why do you think the reactivation is so much more damaging to the effect we have on the results we get?
I think, and Jack means damaging in a good way.
Yeah, definitely in a good way.
We kill it with that. We have a joke in our office. We say we're gonna create some huge damage with this, great damage. And here's the thing is, I think it's just responsible business.
Yeah.
You can't just be going out there trying to get new customers the whole time, because specifically if you're watching this and you're a bricks and mortar business, we run practices in little communities with 10, 20, 30,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
There is a finite amount of people around you directly. And I don't care what anyone says, if you run a bricks and mortar business, if you do, and we've done this, we've done location mapping. You can take the addresses of all your customers in your database and we put it into a piece of software and you can see where they're allocated. It doesn't matter what you say, if you're a bricks and mortar business, majority of the business is within 5 to 10 to 20 minutes, not even 20 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes of the practice or business.
Yeah.
So the reason it's so important, Jack, to answer your question, is that there's a finite amount of customers directly around your practice. There's not that to say that there's not a finite amount of people that wouldn't travel from a distance, but there is a finite amount of people around your practice. And even when we're talking about Facebook campaigns, you know, we've been to some very upscale masterminds on Facebook, and you know, the e-commerce guys are spending $100,000 a day on Facebook.
Yeah.
We're talking about small little businesses that are maybe turning over 100,000, 200,000, even a million, tiny businesses, $1 million, small business. Compared to, you know, some of the big businesses, they're spending $100,000 a day. And they said to us, I don't know if you remember, do you remember what they said to us, what the optimum audience size is for a Facebook campaign? Do you remember what they said?
Oh yeah, it was something ridiculous.
100, they said it used to be 100,000, yeah. But they were like, if you don't have a million in your, at least 100,000, but if you don't have a million in your audience in some way, shape or form, it's most of the time it's not even enough for the Facebook algorithm to pick up stuff.
Yeah.
So what does that show us? Is that even when the gurus are teaching how to do Facebook, we don't consider ourselves a guru. I'm in the game, baby. We do this for our own practices. We just teach what we do and we do it very well, very well. 10,000 new patients last year alone, just from our marketing. So the big thing for me is why it's so important is because there is a finite amount of people direct around your bricks and mortar business. So you have to be engaging in reactivating it. Second part of that question is, what Jack will be able to answer this question, but what's the number one reason that people, I don't care what the business is, I don't care if you're a chiropractor, if you're a physiotherapist, a dentist, a doctor, a bricks and mortar business, any business for that matter, but specifically bricks and mortar, what's the number one reason that customers don't come back to see you?
Primarily because they're embarrassed. Because, you know, for whatever reason, there was a reason they stopped coming, whether it was they missed an appointment or, you know, they couldn't turn up because they couldn't find someone to look after their kids, something so simple, but
yeah.
they were just, they're so scared to come and face the fact that they missed an appointment.
The number one reason when you poll business and you go deeper with this is the number one reason people don't come to see, back to see you is they're embarrassed. Most people think it's because their service wasn't good enough. Mm. Most people think it's because they didn't, they were unhappy with them.
Mm.
But anybody listening to this podcast, if you haven't had this, then you're not even human. I don't even know how you wouldn't be able to relate to this. But we've all had the experience where either we RSVP'd for a party and we didn't show up,
yeah.
or we didn't show up to the hairdresser. I clearly don't have that problem. But we didn't show up to the hairdresser when we said we were gonna, and we didn't cancel,
yeah.
and then we see the person, either the person we didn't show up to the party, we see them in the supermarket the next day, or we see the hairdresser 2 weeks later, and we would run a mile rather than see that person. I have literally had situations in my life where I've seen the person in the aisle, been so embarrassed that I let them down, I messed up, and then chose another aisle to go down. Now that is happening in your business.
Yeah,
that's happening in our business.
It's a real thing. Like I remember it happening to me, and I was going into a shop, and I decided to like not go in the shop because I was going to see my hairdresser.
So it literally happens in our business right now. So the question is, what are you doing to ease their mind that you're not? Because whether they realize it or not, if they dropped out of care, if you had a recommendation for them and they dropped out a certain time, they will in some way, shape, think that they've let you down. So what are you doing to decrease that? So to answer your question, why I should focus on reactivation in some way, shape, or form is because there's tons of people in your diary right now. Another concept you learn from the greatest market on the planet is a buyer is a buyer is a buyer. Meaning what? If they bought from you before, if they spent money on your product or service before, they are a million times more likely, obviously I'm exaggerating by saying a million, I don't know the exact percentage, but they are massively higher percentage likely to use your service or product, buy a product or buy a service again. No one knows this better than Amazon. You buy something on Amazon, and then what happens? They retarget the holy crap out of you with similar products or services that is in your Facebook feed or whatever. So reactivations, and I'm gonna really hone in here on reactivation. Now, I told you there's three elements to a seasonal campaign. But when we talk about reactivations, what is one of the primary things? We take message, media, and then the market. Tell me about the market, specifically segmentation. What are we so good at here?
We're so good at just diving in deep. Like we don't want to just say, oh, we're going to send something to just a group of people that have not been in for a certain amount of time, because we know that that isn't necessarily the right step to do. We focus a lot on the amount of money people spent with us, the amount of time people spent with us, the amount of you know, time between them coming in and not coming in. And we also know that it's important to focus a lot of effort onto those people that have put a lot of effort into us in the past.
Nice.
I think what was really great about what you talked the other day on one of your videos was just, you know, you need to give expectation to people from what you expect from them.
Yeah.
So people have put a lot of expectation into us in the past, who spent a lot of time and money with us, and we want to give them that same level of expectation when we are asking them to put their, time back into us.
Yeah, I think it's interesting is when it comes to a campaign, what Jack is alluding to is that we go deep, and if you want to win at this, and you're watching this, and you're listening to this, it doesn't matter where you are listening to this or watching this, everything we're talking about now, the primary point I wanted to get on this video, on this podcast, was if you're going to do a reactivation campaign, this is what we hear so often. Is someone will come to us and go, it didn't work.
Hmm.
And we'll say, oh, what did you do? And I'll say, I sent 3 emails. Okay, great, who did you send it to? I sent it to everyone. So you sent the same 3 emails to 30,000 people in your database, saying the same messaging to 30,000 people. Now, the market is what I want you to understand. Along the 30,000 people, the market is completely different within the 30,000 people. That's when we say market, that's what we mean. Meaning you've got people who have been long-term clients with you, current long-term clients with you. Watch this. It even goes as far as this. Long-term customer, high spend with you, that is active and inactive, right?
Yeah.
So then it's ready to use different sets of messaging. Because you're going to send the messaging, the wording, the copywriting, the whole process of that. Just give you one example, to the person that's been with you for a long time but isn't in, it's the message is going to be, hey, are you okay? Would love to see you again. And often you, as specifically spent a high portion or got a high spend with you, it's absolutely appropriate to offer them something free.
Mm.
One of the biggest, if you will, hesitations I see in especially practice owners is they don't want to give anything away for free. Listen, if you had spent $10,000 with somebody else, would you appreciate it if they said to you, hey, come in for a free whatever?
So we only do this once a year.
Yeah.
So why do you think it's imperative that we do it?
Yeah, I think...
Because as you said, people would run a mile at the thought of that.
I can't tell you how many times I had a conversation with a dentist, doctor, chiropractor, and somebody says something like, oh, but if I give it away for free, they won't value it. Now, that is a ridiculous concept. Because I can promise you almost every person listening to this video right now, podcast right now, has got something for free and continues to use the product or service that they started with something for free from.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just not true. But what they are alluding to, without knowing what they're alluding to, is the concept of price integrity. So this is why when we say, if we're planning our Christmas campaign, and there's a segment that we go, our top spenders, okay? Top spenders.
Mm-hmm.
And we may decide for our top spenders that for those top spenders, we are going to offer them a free appointment to come back in. And by the way, it works an absolute treat. But we wouldn't offer the same thing, for instance, to someone who's never spent a cent with us or never had an appointment with us, because clearly their commitment levels are very different places. There's a proven buyer here, a proven customer who in some way, shape, or form really enjoyed your service for a long period of time. And to get that person back into what I call an ethical bribe is to get them in is absolutely good business sense. And critically, you're not compromising on price integrity, because price integrity is a lot of the time, this is a specific thing. So if you offer a day one, day two, our initial consultation for free, we don't do this, to be clear. But there's no such thing as a never. It's not black and white. There's always gray area in business. But if we do offer something free, let's say it's initial consultation, it's the initial conversation with you to come meet you, take out all the risk for them. There we are still maintaining price integrity, because the thing, the adjustment, the service is not in that. They have to pay for that.
Yeah.
So it's your initial conversation with them that's important. When it comes to price integrity. So again, we're not offering to the entire group. So that's the biggest mistake I say. So if the only thing you get from this podcast, from this video, is understanding that a email campaign is not a set of emails. It's diving into them and going, this group needs this email. This group needs this email. This group, this email. And specifically, there's a concept in business called Pareto's Principle. I'm pretty sure if someone's listened to this, they've heard of the concept. But I can guarantee you that 90% of businesses, more, are not even thinking about Pareto's principle when they do their marketing campaigns. And Pareto's principle is this. It's the 80-20 rule. That 80% of your turnover is going to probably come from just 20% of your customers. Again, everything I'm teaching, that's a theory. But then we've actually, our last analysis we did with Ted, we took £10 million, I don't know what that is in dollars, £10 million worth of turnover, and we analyzed how much of the turnover came from what percentage of our customers. And it was I'll never forget seeing the stat, I couldn't believe it even. It was absolutely bang on Pareto's principle.
Wow.
Okay, so 20%, so in that case, it was even less. 20% of our customer base, so let's use a rule of thumb. Let's say anywhere from 80% of your turnover coming from 20 to 30% of your customers, right? Who, if we're going to focus on any group of people in this reactivation campaign, who are we going to focus on?
The high spenders.
The top 20%.
Mm-hmm.
It goes even more in depth. Now, if you're watching this, you're probably a smaller bricks and mortar business, which means you have sometimes got a smaller team. So then my recommendation from there is, if you're going to go one step further, just at least choose your top 100 spends.
Definitely.
And go a little bit further. Now, that's to wrap up the segmentation thing. It's if I give you an understanding, give me a little bit of a breakdown of a minimum, who do we segment when it comes to, or who qualifies for a reactivation campaign for us?
So Christmas is the only exception where we take it back a lot.
Yeah.
We always go back about 6 months. We haven't been in for 6 months, and we go back the full database, because at Christmas we know that it's an important time to, you know, get as many people in as possible.
So you don't just go back 18 months for this. No. You go back Christmas. You go the entire database ever.
Always.
Wow. Okay.
Because we want to make sure.
I don't know. Because most of our campaigns actually. So Jack runs these campaigns now all by himself, right? So when we started, we've always a stock standard. I'd always go back any marketing campaign. At least go back 18 months to 2 years. Mm. So, but I think it's really, really cool. That and here's the thing, our opinions are irrelevant. It's all on the stats, right? Mm. Go for it. So wasn't it?
Because what's important as well is that when you analyze the people that come through, some of our highest spenders that we've had over they might have not been in since 2015. Yeah, we want to make sure we're not excluding anyone that we think is going to be really important to make sure that we're communicating with.
Got it.
And we always make sure that we have a limit on the spend, so they have to have spent $500 or more.
Yeah.
And that's our most basic segmentation there. But then obviously, as you were saying, we begin to break that down even further. And I'm sure you'll go into a little bit more in a minute, but every single person, especially those higher spenders, they don't just have that one touch.
Powerful. So let's get into that for a second. Yeah. So I just want to quickly wrap up that segmentation part, because what Jack said there was pretty important. We saw our percentage rate of conversion or response rate shoot to the roof when we segmented a certain level. In our business, we just draw a line for this campaign, not all campaigns, because there's a different campaign that goes to the people who have never ever spent a cent with us. But from just drawing a line in the sand, anyone that spent $500 and above with us is a hot lead, right? I'm still thinking of them as a lead. Most people just think of them as customers. If they're not coming to see us anymore, they're still a lead. So they're inactive, they haven't come to see us for 3 months, they've spent above $500, and that is an entire database ever.
Yeah.
Now, what you said was there is like, if your top 100 spend, let's say your top 1% of your database, and these are people that spend $5,000, $10,000, $3,000, $20,000, whatever it is on your database, that really came from a concept that I learned from our marketing mentors, was that the worst thing in business is to be one and done, right? So if you're in a business where you have to sell a product and then you have to sell it again and to different people, it's really tough. So we've got recurring revenue, but the next worst, so the worst number in business is one. And if you continue that across marketing campaigns, the worst number of emails to send is one. I can't tell my people that, the marketing campaign didn't work. I say, how many emails did you send? One. How many emails do we send in our campaign?
So the campaign at the moment, it's interesting because it's about 18 at the moment, but then we'll go into this in a bit, but obviously you've got different emails that will come based on certain actions. So in total, it's about 25, I'd say. But
okay, so to be clear, we are getting 10 to 15% response rates, and people are like, I tried, it didn't work. Yeah, well, how many emails did you send? 3. Yeah, we sent 33.
Hmm.
And I'm not sure we sent 33, but you get the point, right? We sent, and probably we do, but here's the key. We're not sending 33 emails to the entire database. We will only, what Jack is starting to talk about here, is we have action-specific marketing that happens. So what we do is we can see if someone clicks on an email. If someone clicks on an email, or in fact watches a video in an email, there's something called tags on that. Mm. Now that is a slightly hotter prospect. It means they're slightly interested in what we're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
So then sometimes, which I love, is that we have an automatic text that goes out to someone that watches one of our videos.
Mm-hmm.
So if you watch this now, you're like, whoa, how did you do that? This is some of the things we teach our Inner Circle members, is to go a little bit deeper with your marketing. And you can come over this in more detail. But just think. Your job as a marketer is to think. Your job as a businessman is to think. If they click on this email that says, hey, come in, you know, we miss you, then they should be getting something more, and more than what everyone else is getting.
Definitely.
That's the first thing.
Yeah.
So you've got action-specific segmentation, which is amazing. Then we also do something more. Do we just send emails?
Definitely not. Emails yeah. Emails is the bare minimum.
Yeah.
So we've got, obviously you said we've got text messages, like what you like to use the word ninja move, like we've got post.
Yeah.
Post is a huge element of that, and obviously that goes into that the top spenders.
Yeah.
We've got reactivation letter, we do newsletters as well now. And we also make sure that one of the best things we've done, and it's really, really killer, is taking your reactivation list and actually putting it into Facebook.
Nice.
And they're doing a custom audience based on your reactivations, doing a video, doing an offer, but it's still that same offer that they're going to be seeing in all these other ways. But the thing that we've learned, which is so important, is just because one person saw it here doesn't mean that same person's going to see it here. You know, it's a presumption to make, but if you're of the older generation, you might not be on Facebook, so you might not be receiving emails, you might not have a phone to get a text message, so you need to get that post, you need to get that thing, you know, through the letterbox to know what's going on.
Well, Jay Abraham says you need to be omnipresent, meaning you need to, if they look at Facebook, you need to be there. If they open their post, you need to be there.
Mm.
If they open their email, you need to be there. You know, we're as many places as possible. And what I love about what Jack said there, so if I segue here, said differently, is one, our market campaigns, our reactivation campaigns are killing it. One, because we segment our list.
Mm-hmm.
We don't just send the same freaking email to 30,000 people. No, we have multiple emails going with different messaging for different customer types, right? There's an active client, there's an inactive client. There's a high spend active, there's a high spend inactive. There's a no spend inactive, which is a completely different messaging. And then there's someone who's an active client with us currently, who's maybe just started care and we want to strengthen the relationship. And another 1,000 variations of that. But you've got to find your key ones when it comes to segmentation. And if I kind of segue then into what you're talking about now, is one of the keys of why we're so successful at a marketing campaign, especially reactivation campaigns, or these type, any campaign for that matter, is that not only do we segment, but we also never, ever, 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 ever don't use multiple forms of media. Key. If you're going to be, you'll outperform all the experts by simply doing those two things.
Mm.
If you just go to the effort, people, you know, and I know you listen to this podcast right now, you go, oh, that sounds like a lot of work. Yep, it is a lot of work. We work our asses off for that.
Yeah.
But that's why our results are not slightly better. They are so much better than everyone else. So what do we mean by multiple forms of media? So to roughly tell you is, and that's why it's so important, is if you had to imagine sending something in the post about the Christmas campaign or Christmas special or New Year, New You checkup, and you had to imagine sending that to your entire database, costs quickly rise. But if you look at Pareto's principle, 80% of our turnover is coming from 20% of people, so let's make sure at least we send something in the post to the top 20%.
Exactly.
And we take it even deeper. So we'll send emails. If they click on certain things, because text is, one thing about texts is text messaging is very powerful. It is one of the highest open rates of any site, any type of marketing. Because you get a text, you open it, right?
Exactly.
But one of the things I will say about it is people perceive their text message is like a personal place. So sometimes when we've done this before, we've made all the mistakes, right? We send the text messages out to the entire database and like people don't like it.
Mm.
So we sometimes, not saying that there's a time and place for that too, but we'll send a text message specifically based on some type of action. Then we'll also send something in the post. Again, can you justify spending $1, $2 on someone that spent $500 to $10,000 with you? Of course, it's ridiculous to like, oh, it's expensive. You know how much money, you know how expensive it is to not do it. So it's crazy town, you know, to not spend a little bit of money to try and reactivate someone who's already spent $500 with you. That's why the segmentation is so important.
Mm.
And then here's the ninja move with it though. And this is where everyone stops, is I've grown up with direct response marketing mentors. And in that world, if you will, post and print media is kind of, it's always been revered as a hidden gem. But one of the things that I'll tell you is our hidden gem is picking up the phone.
Yeah.
Because that's where everyone stops. So here's my tip for you. And I hope you're getting understanding of kind of the aspects of our Christmas campaign or any seasonal campaign. It is A, we segment the hell out of it and make sure we know what we're doing. And then we always send multiple media. Specifically, we go that, again, depending on, if it wasn't for capacity, I would love to phone every single person on the list.
Of course.
But capacity-wise. Yep. So at the very least, we always go our top 1%, 2%, 3%, 4%. And then we will draw, we'll pull out the data and go, wow, okay, there's 3,000 people on that list. Or 300. Mm-hmm. 300, we go, for that particular practice, we can pull off 300-400 phone calls.
Definitely.
And here's the key. Then we'll actually we'll phone the top spenders or top or our longest and most valuable clients. And this is all you need to know about telemarketing, if you will, for what we need it for, is the telephone call has to happen after the emails or the text or specifically something in the post.
Why do you think that's so important?
Because if you cold call people, and if you listen to this right now, I know we've all had a cold call that we freaking hated. But when you get some, two elements. One is the person doing your outbound phone calls for this, for instance, Christmas Kane, is more than likely not going to be a trained telemarketer or salesperson.
Hmm.
It's probably going to be a receptionist, CA, someone who's not accustomed to this. Should it be someone who's had some telemarketing experience? Yeah, it should be. But for years, we didn't do it that way. Now we do, but for years, we didn't. So that's point number one. So they're not going to be skilled on the phone. Point number two is if you phone after the something and multiple things, text, emails, videos on Facebook, and something in the post, the first line out of the person who's phoning is gold. And it is, hey, this is Mary from your local practice down the road. I'm just phoning to see if you got our fill in the blank in the post.
Hmm. And that's when you get that shift from sales call to courtesy call.
100%.
Which then reshifts back into that. But it's so much nicer to receive a call where you feel cared about than if you feel like somebody's just selling.
Yeah, and it's actually just what you said there is a concept called positioning.
Hmm.
All you've done is changed the positioning. You have changed positioning from a seriously unwanted pest to not quite an invited guest, but you are certainly just going, hey, I'm just going to check you've got our stuff in the post.
Mm.
Now, then, next thing, what happens next in the phone call is someone either goes, yep, I got it. I'm so sorry. I've been meaning to call you guys back and find out. I would love to get booked. No selling needed.
Yeah.
Or they go, hey, thank you so much. Yeah, I'm still thinking about it. And then you can have some processes, which is another day's podcast, another day's conversation. But you have some processes in place to bring someone along the line or bring someone in or cross or help someone take one step closer to doing business with you. But honestly, the key to where we really do well is we get results from doing the basics. And honestly, what I've just said now is the bare minimum. It's the basics that every responsible businessman should be doing, and we just get results because we show up.
Mm.
And most people are like, oh, right. Most people come to us and they're like, I can't believe the amazing results you guys are getting. And honestly, a lot of the times we certainly feel like we're still learning so much and all of that. But we just do the basics well.
Yeah,
we just do the basics well. So, closing really. Couple tips for people here at this Christmas campaign. Tell us some of the things that you've kind of added in the campaign or some things you're trying in the campaign, and tell us a little bit, tell us if you break down the structure for us of our reactivation campaign, New Year, New You. Break it down to us, a couple steps for us, a couple dates for us, possibly a couple little tricks that you're trying out. Tell us about this specific campaign that we're just about to launch.
Cool. So I think the most important thing actually is when you're thinking about planning it is actually it's not a Christmas campaign, it's a New Year campaign.
Yes.
Because one thing that we do, and we do well, is that with our emails and the process that happens before Christmas happens, is that it's very much content-based. We're trying to reconnect with the people that we haven't had that connection with by providing them with helpful things, like one of the videos we send them is our top 5 tips to have a healthy Christmas. Because what we know is that, I mean, I put myself in the shoes of if it was me sometimes, and I think, like, would I just come back? Or would I feel inclined to come back?
if I felt like I had that feeling of, it's the thing you teach, the reciprocity.
Yeah.
It's like, if you give someone something, then they're more inclined to give something back.
Yeah.
And I think that works really well. So we have a few emails going out where we give content, we give helpful tips. We've done a stretching video. We show people how to do a turkey squat. Like it's fun content, but we're giving people something, you know, to enjoy and to engage with. And then off the back of those videos, you've got the texts which are coming through. So thank you. Did you enjoy the video? Hope you enjoyed watching it. Hope you've been doing your turkey squats. Oh, by the way, if you fancy coming in, we've got this cool offer on. But in the lead up to New Year, our offer that we invite people to come back with, it's very light. There's no pressure at that point because we're wanting to completely give the content at that point.
Engage.
As soon as New Year comes in, then it's all about the offer. It's all about them coming in. And one thing that we've learned and really works so well with our emails at the moment, and the reason they work so well, and the reason we've got an incredible open rate now, is that we're always positioning them as questions.
Okay.
And that's worked really, really well. So it's things like, even with going back to that turkey squat one, it's like, have you heard of the turkey squat?
If you get an email and it says in the subject line, have you heard of the turkey squat?
You're gonna open it. So, those subject lines have been working so well. So every single one of our emails has a question because we're wanting to create that intrigue.
Yeah.
It works so well. And I think from our very first campaign that we did, I think one thing, you've got a great story when it comes to this, is one of the emails that outperforms any type of email that we do is something called a Seinfeld email.
Yeah. So we got this from Russell Brunson, who's the founder of ClickFunnels. And it's really just a Seinfeld email to simplify for you. It's just an email about nothing that you get through and you give value and you tell a story.
Okay. Yeah. So I wonder if you want to tell the story of the experience we had with it, maybe.
So, the story goes, I read Russell's book and I walked in the office and I gave Jack the book. And I was so fascinated by this concept of a Seinfeld email, and really, to simplify it, it's just consistency, you know? And because a lot of people don't create content because they think, I haven't got anything great to say.
Mm.
But what Russell changed my mind on was like, people are interested in our lives. Like, people are way more interested in your life than you may think, or something you've done, or the turkey squat.
Yeah.
And what I did was about 2 pages. I gave Jack the chapter to read, which is 2 pages. I then quickly wrote a sample email, and I gave it back to Jack. As Jack finished the chapter, I'm talking 3, 4, 5 minutes, 10 minutes tops. I gave the computer across to Jack, and I said, "This is an example of what I mean." And I walked out the office, and when I walked back into the office, Jack said, "Cool, I've sent it." And I no way, shape, or form meant for you to send it.
Mm.
I freaked out at the time because it wasn't perfect yet. I hadn't worked it out yet. I would have liked to spend way more time on it. And the moral of the story was that within an hour of sending that email, we had over 30 people who had said they'd like to reactivations, who had opted into it.
Mm.
A key thing in your email is always make sure there's a button for them to click on.
Oh, for sure.
So
that's another great point, actually.
Yeah.
I'll say,
and to finish that train of thought was really, done is better than perfect.
Yeah,
and it was a huge wake up call for us. Yeah. It's like, stop trying to get this perfect content, just get any content out. And we had 30 reactivations because I just sent an email, and that happened by mistake. You know, I was embarrassed by the thought process. I mean, I just typed it out without even thinking. But here's the point: it was real.
Yeah.
It was real. I just told him a story about Christmas, New Year's, and how I sat up and watched this late night music show. I didn't go out. I hate New Year's. I hate New Year's normally. I like to get my year ready with goals, etc. I actually wanted to go gym on the 1st, but all the gyms were closed.
Mm.
So I told that story, and I was like, freaking hell, I wanted to go spinning on the 1st, and then all the gyms were closed. Like, why do you want to start your year with a bang? And I had a rant about that, and I ranted about how great spinning is, and I was ranting about goals and the new year, etc. And then I just gave it across to Jack, and Jack sent it, and we got 30 new patients from it, or reactivations from it. So I'm going to say, go.
I was going to say, you've highlighted two really important points. So the one thing you highlighted there, which I think a lot of people forget, is that now in, you know, in marketing now, people aren't stupid.
Yeah.
And you know, and I know that people know when they see marketing. People know what to look for. They know when they go onto Facebook. They know that when they see a clothing label showing the latest clothes that are out, they know that that's because you've gone on the website and you've all that kind of things. People aren't blind to that. But what's so amazing about the way that what we've learned from the Seinfeld emails, from what Russell showed, is that actually, like, when you're putting a more human emphasis on the way that you're communicating with people, people don't see it as marketing. People see it as genuine care and genuine communication. And that's what's missing from a lot of marketing now. It's just actually that human interaction through whatever media you're using.
I get it.
And the other important point that you said about, well, obviously we're talking about the different types of media, whether it's post or whether it's email, whether it's text, it's also having multiple ways for people to opt in, as it were.
To respond.
Yeah, so it's the same thing. So if people can't call up for whatever reason, you have to have a website they can go to.
So it's like
an email.
Click on the website, I can phone a number, I can text back, I can have live chat, I can whatever it is, multiple forms of responding.
Yeah, another element we've added into our emails for this campaign is that people can actually opt in on a Facebook Messenger.
Cool. Awesome. Again, just another avenue for people to go through, because everyone does things differently. You know, some people still like to. Do you know? What's interesting is we live in an era where you can stream video content in seconds. Netflix. The interesting thing about Netflix is Netflix still does millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of business, because Netflix was started as a subscription business that you got sent. I don't know if you know this.
No, I do, yeah. So you actually got it sent in the post and you had to,
Yeah, so Jack's a little bit younger than me, so I wonder if he remember. So that's how I started. My parents were subscribers to Netflix before it was a streaming service. It was, you got sent the CD in the post. You got the DVD in the post. Do you know that still to this day, Netflix does millions and millions and millions worth of dollars of business, and I don't know the exact amount, so I won't try guess it, but you can Google it. What percentage of Netflix's business is still DVDs through the post? And obviously it pales in consideration to their thing. But the interesting thing is there's still people that freaking want it. Like, so there'll always be people that still want to respond via, some people will hate to respond via text messages. Some people love it. Some people hate to respond via email. Some people love it. Some people hate to respond via Facebook Messenger. Some people love it. Some people would only ever phone. Some people would hate to phone. And actually recently, this is a very general conversation we have about marketing, and we'll deep dive in all the podcasts on specifics on this, like what to say in an email, what the structure of email, we'll deep dive. But the overview of this is just understanding that, you know, segmentation is super, super important. And if for the love of, just make sure you have multiple forms of media. If you're able to segment, if you're able to have multiple forms of media, and the third thing is just actually freaking do anything, you're going to win. So now's the time to be doing this kind of thinking of these campaigns. I don't have anything else to add for now. I think that's just about enough time for you guys to kind of digest that information. We love and appreciate you. Thanks for joining us in today's show. We're gonna do this once a week. We're deep diving into strategy of building businesses, strategy of building teams, strategy of some of you are going to want to just get busier, have more income. Some of you are going to want to scale out of your businesses, etc. We're going to be talking all about that. And really, I'm just going to be teaching you what I've done. We've created businesses. I've got multiple businesses, but bricks and mortar business, practices, £5.25 million, $7 million every single year. And we do an amazing job with that, just that business alone. So make sure you subscribe to my YouTube channel. We'll be giving you some gold. My job is to give you so much information on this YouTube channel that you're going to grow your practice way before you even meet me. Love and appreciate you. Say goodbye, Jack.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, see you guys soon.